Talk radio just got a little cooler.
Chad Benson.
Chad Benson.
The Chad Benson Show.
What's up, party people? Happy, happy Wednesday. It is the Chad Benson Show. It is the last show for 2016. I want to thank everybody for being a part of the Dog and Pony Show that is the Chad Benson Show, as we have rock and rolled this year and have grown in many ways. And I definitely appreciate each and every one of you taking time out to give our little show here a little listen every now and then. And we appreciate that big time. You know, when I sat down today and I was thinking about, okay, what are some of the things we're going to do today? We're going to have a light, fun show. We'll talk about some stuff that's serious, but by and large, it's going to be a light, fun show. We're going to revisit some of the worst movies of the year and talk about what's ahead for next year. But I want to look back on this year in general. And one of the things I want to look back upon is just what's took place in the year. If you would have told me a year ago, 2015, that 365 days from now, you'll be getting off your, the air here for the second time, you know, in a year where Trump had made some noise, was still around, and then you're going to tell me a year from now, finishing up my second year, that not only has Trump made some noise, Trump was the president of the United States elect. I would have been like, what? I'm sorry. Let me clean my ears out. He was interesting. He said, "Why? You know, you were on the Trump train." I said, "No, you know what? No, I wasn't." I said, "I was interested in Trump because I thought Trump was interesting," and he was. But now he's the president of the United States, and what he did shaped, I think, the way people may look at politics for a long time, especially if he turns out to be a halfway decent president, which I think he has every chance of doing. You know, the one thing about somebody like Trump is people underestimate him, and they've done it the entire time. They may not underestimate him in business, but I think they underestimate him in life and what people's, how he understands people's psyches. I think they've underestimated him tremendously. You know, the 15 other candidates that stood alongside him to start this thing, they thought he was a joke. He's not going to be around a while. He didn't even believe he was going to be around a while. But he did. He stuck it out. He fought. He took them down one by one. When he needed to, he raised one of them up, only to later on take him back down. He played a game that they had never seen before, and he won. And it has been extremely interesting to watch the way this thing's entirely unfolded before our very eyes. We have a former governor of California that is now sitting in the seat which he once occupied, and that is as the head of The Apprentice. And at the same time, we have a guy that is a former billionaire playboy slash, media mogul slash empire building machine that is the Trump Enterprises. And now all of a sudden he is going to be occupying the White House. In less than a month, he's going to be occupying the White House. And when you look at the way that this has unfolded over the last year, it's been really weird. It's been surreal. That was the Merriam-Webster's dictionary this year said the word of the year was surreal. And I think that's the first time they got it right. Because sometimes they said the word of the year, and I'm like, I've never used that word. And I don't think I've ever heard it. I've heard that. It is a surreal feeling. It is. It's an odd feeling. But I will tell you this. I'm optimistic. You know, I think a lot of people are underestimating the job that he's going to be able to do. I'm not one of those people. I believe Trump has a great opportunity of doing something here. They underestimated Reagan. The right underestimated Bill Clinton. I think people are underestimating the job that this guy is going to be able to do. And I hope he succeeds. I want him to succeed completely. First of all, because he's interesting and he gives me lots of material. Secondly, because of the way that he butthurts everybody, I find it to be intriguing. Right? I mean, I do. I find it all to be very intriguing, the way that he butthurts each and every single person out there. But as I look back through this year, if you would have told me that this was going to happen, that Donald Trump was going to be president of the United States, I don't think I'd believe you. I thought he might have gone far, and I thought, you know what, he had a chance of getting somewhere. But to be honest with you, in his wildest dreams, remember, he had told Chris Christie, I don't think I'll be in this thing through October, and I'll throw my support behind you. But he just kept winning. And 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 all of a sudden here, we look up, and it's he and the one, the chosen one. Right? The chosen one. Here is the chosen one. Hillary Clinton. She's going to be, this is another opportunity for the Democrats to make history. First African-American president. Now they're going to have the first female president. She's a shoo-in. Her husband is extremely popular amongst the youth of America and many Democrats. But lo and behold, having no political experience whatsoever, having zero kind of ground game, as they would call it, having no conventional understanding of the way that politics has always worked, he did it his way. And slowly but surely, he chopped them down. And until he came to the last one. And timber, she went. And then November 8th night into November 9th, it had become apparent that he was going to win. They were still waiting for some stuff. But finally, about 3 a.m. Eastern time, lo and behold, he walks out there and said he got a phone call from Hillary Clinton and he was going to be president of the United States. And since then, it's been whiny, bitching, moaning, screaming, up until even Monday of this week, when the hopes and prayers were pinned upon the Electoral College. And what will the electors do? Will they vote their conscience? I think they did. I think they did. I think they sent a message as well. The message is this is who the people want. I know people are like, well, he lost the popular vote. You realize that take away New York and take away California, he won the popular vote by 3 million. That's why the Electoral College is in place. So places like New York and California don't dominate the political sphere. Think about this. Where would you be if you were a politician and it was the popular vote? Chicago, L.A., San Francisco, New York. You think you're going to Iowa? You're not going to Iowa. But he did what he needed to do. He played it better than anybody else has played it in God knows how long. And he did it in a way that was at times maddening, other times refreshing. But it was purely Donald across the board. It was purely Donald. And now, he's no longer the Donald. He's now Mr. President. And because of that, we've decided to put together a little poem for you. You might recognize this. It used to be called The Night Before Christmas, but this one's called The Night Before Trumpmas.
'Twas the night before Trumpmas, when all through Trump's house, not a creature was stirring, not even a nonpartisan mouse. Fresh stock certificates were hung on the fireplace mantel with care, in hopes that St. Chris Christie Kringle would soon be there. The Trump kids were nestled all snug in their beds, while visions of caviar and sour cream danced with their heads. Melania in her cashmere kerchief, Donald in his Make America Great Again cap, had just settled down for a long post-transitional nap, when out of the balcony there arose such a clatter, I sprang from my Trump mattress to see what was the matter. Away to the balcony I flew like a flash, tore open the golden drapes and threw up gold-plated sash. The moon on the breast of the new-fallen snow gave luster to Trump copyrighted images below. Then wait till my wondering eyes should appear. But a miniature sleigh pulled by 15 ex-presidential nominees, all afear. The 16th now, the sleigh's jolly fat driver, a tingle. I knew in a moment, St. Chris Christie Kringle, more rapid than eagles, his course they came, and he bellowed and shouted and called them by name. Now, little Rubio, now Carson, now Kasich and Lying Cruz, on Fiorina, on Huckabee, on Pataki and Jeb Loser Bush, to the top of Trump Tower, to the top of the southern border wall. Now dash away, dash away, dash away all. And then, in a twinkling, I heard on the tip top of my roof a foot, the practicing of losers, looting my loot. So I slapped Chris Christie down the chimney, and he landed with such a clatter. What was left from my Christmas fruit cake unlodged from his throat with a ho-ho holiday splatter. He was dressed all in fur, from head to foot, and his clothes were all tarnished with donut crumbs and soot. But the bundle of toys he had flung on his back fell to the floor and spilled out the sack. Before I could believe my unbelieving eyes, there danced upon the penthouse floor, proud and tall, a brand new Senate-approved presidential cabinet, complete with Secretary of State and all. On Tillerson, on Mad Dog, on Banyan and Reince, as white as the snow, with non-progressive alt-right delight, Chris Christie Kringle now spoke not a single word as he set the new cabinet in place and turned about face. He took to the elevator down Fifth Avenue below and called himself an Uber to take him in tow. As he disappeared into the mop of shoppers and protesters alike, you could hear him say under his breath, "Bite me, Trump," and to all a good night. Meanwhile, dozens of floors above the Holiday Brew, while Ivanka played with her new White House doll set, and Don Jr. and Eric counted stock options anew, Donald Sr. and Melania cuddled under the glow of a fire and settled in for a less formal attire. But not before President-elect Trump fired up the Twitter account just once more, before 2070 roared and roared, tweet-tweeting, tweet-tweeting, with a twinkle in his rascally eye. To all a very merry Trump-Trumpmas, and a very happy Trump-Trumpmas New Year to all.
The Chad Benson Show, Facebook at Chad Benson Show, Twitter, ChadBensonShow.com. Chad at ChadBensonShow.com. You can text us, 323-538-2423. Got some funny stuff, some tweets yesterday at me, and some text messages gone awry, and we'll touch a bit about what's going on in Berlin and the Christmas worry this holiday season. Chad Benson Show.
Spending more or less this Christmas. I'm spending more just because I got nieces and nephews now, so I'm just trying to be that good uncle.
The Chad Benson Show.
Somebody texted me last night. You can always text the show, 323-538-2423. Feel free to call as well. It's 844-DIG-CHAD, 844-44-2423. We were trying to figure it out earlier. We were screwing the number up. Man, I jacked that number up all the time. Not even close. 2 years, not even close. It's like, is there an M in there? I'm like, maybe. I don't even know. Pound sign?
Ampersand?
hieroglyphics? Just fingerprint? Pretty awesome. Somebody texted me last night to tell me how wrong I am about Europe and how I don't know what I'm talking about, you know, not having lived there for a long time and thinking that this there isn't this nationalism and pride amongst Europeans, that they're not that they're all just super uber liberal. It's like walking around Berkeley, and I have news for you: it's not that way as much as you think it is. We have become far more liberal in a lot of ways than they have. We look at them because they have socialized medicine, or maybe places like Denmark and Sweden and stuff have the cradle to the grave kind of social services. But let me tell you something. The Brits, they love the Queen. They love the Union Jack, and they're proud of it. The French still love being French. The European Union has come in, and they've tried to make this one of these, you know, things where they thought it was going to be like the United States of Europe kind of thing, where, you know, everybody was going to be European, but you still had your home country. And you saw with the Brexit that a lot of people are ready to bounce out of that. Italy's looked like it's going to, you know, fall by the wayside, and it's just going to be a tumbling after that, a tumbling effect over and over again. And when I said this, look, do they have some liberal views on stuff? Absolutely, but no more different than we are. In some ways, we've become far more liberal in the way that we push, especially our younger generation, right? But they have some conservative sides to it, and the rise of the conservatives. I mean, look at Britain, you know, look at the U.K., the ruling party of the Tories, that's conservatives. You've got, the rise of some hardliner rights in several other countries. France, I think, is going to make a shift to the right after this one. You've got Wilders out in Holland, who is right and making a move. Because there is a nationalist and a conservatism that is out there. And I don't think people understand that. And let me tell you something. Merkel has got blood on her hands. And it was interesting to see that they're protesting in front of her office today because people are over it. By the way, the person they're looking for in this bus or this lorry or this truck issue, this horrific incident that took place at the market the other night, his name is Anis Amiri. And what a shocker. His name was not Bert Schneider or, you know, something of that nature. It was Anis Amiri, a Tunisian that they had in custody in August who had contact with several radical groups, apparently, throughout time, and they had monitored him. They didn't have enough to hold him, and he was also an asylum seeker, and he had gotten his way through all of this, playing the game of, I am here to seek asylum from all the horrible things that are happening, and lo and behold, look what took place. They already considered him a security risk. 12 people killed, 48 injured, 12 of them serious. And this is what you get. And the pressure's growing. And you watch. There's a pushback. There is a push. Remember, 16 months ago, we were becoming a very progressive nation. And then people got sick and tired of it. And lo and behold, look what we have. We have Donald Trump. The pushback came. The pushback came. It's amazing. They don't know where this guy is. Apparently, he got in. He stabbed and shot the owner of the truck. It's you know, this is what happens. It is a wolf in sheep's clothing, and we're inviting them over here. And the more that this happens, the more that you're going to find people stand behind what Trump is saying, and many of the Europeans are starting to call for, which is let's build a safe zone for them in and around the area these people are coming from, and we'll make sure we fund it and we keep them safe. But as far as bringing any more over here, until we know for 100% certain that they're not a terrorist, which we can never do, maybe it's a no-go. The Chad Benson Show, Facebook at Chad Benson Show, Twitter, ChadBenson. We'll look back at the artists we lost this year. It's been a lot of them. Chad Benson Show.
The Chad Benson Show. Talk radio just got a little cooler.
Chad Benson.
Chad Benson.
The Chad Benson Show.
What's up, party people? Bill asked me for when we were on break. How was my party last night? I didn't really have a party. Went to see my family. Took my little dude, Jackin, over. He's running around crazy wild with my little brothers or his little. I don't know what you call them because they're my nephew. I call my nephew bros. So I guess they would be his nuzzins or whatever. I'm not quite sure what that is. So they're all hanging out today. But last night I go over there and we get there a little bit later because we're doing the show. We have to drive a ways to get there. And my family had barbecued me some hamburgers. And I wasn't feeling so good. I got a bit of a cold. I'm struggling a bit. And so I go and my sisters have ginormous animals. Like Atreyu. Do you know what Atreyu? You know who Atreyu is, right, Phil? Not the band, but from the Neverending Story. One of them. His name is Odin. He's the Great Pyrenees. So I make my hamburgers. I turn around to get something to drink. It's on the counter table, and all of my food is gone in 2 seconds. Every ounce of it. Boom. And as that's happening, Dax all, Daddy, watch out! Hercules, the Great Pyrenees' friend, who happens to be a Newfoundland hound, takes the hamburger out of Jack's hands and eats it. And that was my evening.
Sounds like a good time was had by all.
Merry birthday! 2016 was a year of loss. We lost a ton of people in 2016. As we look back and we reflect upon it, the first big star that died, and as a kid growing up, I watched this show. My family loved this show. It was called One Day at a Time, and we lost Schneider, Pat Harrington.
Romano, I got a little present here for you. It's something that all the ladies in the apartment are fighting over. It's a whisper silent flush valve for your can.
Schneider, you shouldn't have.
And you know how I feel about you. Besides, in this here apartment with these walls, you got no privacy. I mean, what you got now is... But when I get that little baby installed, what you're going to have is...
Oh, Schneider died at the age of, what was he? He was pushing it right there. He was 86 years old, 86 years young. Schneider died, and he kind of kicked it off. Just a few days later, we lost one of the most influential artists in the last, I'd say, 50 years, particularly in music. We lost Mr. David Bowie.
Changes. Turn and face the strange. Changes. Don't want to be a richer man.
Like Bowie, although that last album was horrible. We might want to just rethink that last album. We'll pretend like it didn't happen. That's what I'm trying to tell you right there. Later on that month, we lost Alan Rickman and Dan Haggerty, known for the Life of Times of Grizzly Adams. And from there, we weren't finished. This one came as a shock to me. He was 67, and again, 67 isn't what it used to be. Glenn Frey passed away. Man, that was a tough start to the year right there. Losing a couple back-to-back like that. Some more losses in February. Everybody from, Bob Elliott to Joe Alasky, a mentor, a person that I looked up to in the voice world. He was Bugs Bunny, Daffy Duck, Sylvester, Tweety Bird. And then we lost another pop icon, musician, singer, songwriter, and founding member. A member of this group, Earth, Wind, and Fire, Maurice White. Man, I tell you what, that's a tough one. I love me some Earth, Wind, and Fire. I do. It's not the same now. It's not the same. Moved on into March. We lost Nancy Reagan. Joey Martin Feek died. She was a country western singer with her husband, Joey and Roy. They was pretty big, and she died at the age of 40, and it was pretty well documented as her passing went. Frank Sinatra Jr. died later on. This is interesting as I'm looking up the names of people who passed away this year. Remember Rob Ford? I think we all remember Rob Ford. He was the Canadian mayor of Toronto who had some missteps. How'd they describe him this, Producer Phil? Politician, crack-smoking mayor of Toronto.
So what we're saying is it really wasn't a surprise.
It was not. I'm surprised he lived that long. By the way, he died of cancer and not any kind of crazy crackness, if you will. Gary Shandling died that month, as did the likes of Patty Duke. And then we move into April. And April saw another country western singer die, Mr. Merle Haggard.
I turned 21 in prison doing life without parole. No one could steer me right, but Mama tried. Mama tried, Mama tried to raise me better, but her pleading I denied. That leaves only me to blame, 'cause Mama tried.
And if music hadn't gotten any better in heaven later on that month, maybe the biggest loss of the year from the entertainment side of things, Prince passed away.
Go crazy.
That was huge when he passed away. I don't think anybody saw that coming. Just weeks earlier, he had an issue on an airplane where they make an emergency landing, but everything seemed to be okay. In fact, he even played just a few days earlier at his home, I don't even know what they call it. It was like a club or whatever, and a lot of people were excited to see him but he passed away. We move on into May, the likes of Morley Schaefer passing away, Alan Young, of course, from Wilbur, and then into June. And on June 3rd, well, heaven got themselves a poet, a fighter, and an activist as Muhammad Ali said goodbye to Earth.
I'm the resurrected, the savior of the whole game. Every day I'm in the newspapers. You get tired of reading about me.
How about
all magazines, everything. I'm a big man.
How about this villain role? You're getting to be the villain, and Liston is getting to be the
good guy. Yeah, Liston was the villain. Didn't nobody like Liston. Liston was a thug. Liston was a gangster. Liston was this. Liston was that. Everybody wants to see Liston beat. And now all of a sudden, Liston is the savior.
You know, I guess...
That's the way I like it. That makes me rumble. Don't we rumble? Float like a butterfly and sting like a bee.
He passed away at the age of 74, proclaimed himself the greatest. In many ways, he was the greatest. Took on social injustice in a way that few had seen in his day and age. And definitely a loss for a lot of people out there. And it's funny because a lot of people who can't stand social justice warriors praise him. But I think he did it in a way that was just much different. And again, a way when he stood up against Vietnam and he stood up against so many different things, being a black man in America, changing his name from Cassius Clay to Muhammad Ali, definitely somebody that we all embrace. From there, just a few days later, Gordie Howe, the greatest hockey player of all time, many say, passed away at the age of 88. And then later on in the month, Anton Yelchin, an actor who plays Pavel Chekhov in the 3 Star Trek movies before the release of the newest movie, passed away at 27 of a car accident that shocked many. Buddy Ryan and Pat Summitt, the great basketball coach, passed away that year. We move into July, many more people passed away, including one of the great writer, producers, and actors of television and even movies at times, Gary Marshall.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, Schlemiel, Schlemazel, Hasenbemp Incorporated.
Of course, Penny, his sister, was the star of Vernon Shirley, but he wrote many different things, Happy Days, Mork and Mindy, Laverne and Shirley. Had a long career. Fellow radio host and actor Jerry Doyle passed away at age 60 also in that month. And then into the world of sadness when we lost a true genius, and I thought many ways, who fortunately some of these diseases can rob you from a lot of stuff. Gene Wilder passed away.
Are we awake?
We are not sure. Are we black?
Yes, we are.
Then we're awake, but we're very puzzled.
Since you are my guest and I am your host, what are your pleasures? What do you like to do?
Well, I don't know. Play chess? Screw.
Well, let's play chess.
I love placing saddles. It was absolutely fantastic. September saw the loss of the likes of Hugh O'Brien, who starred in The Life and Times and Legend of Wyatt Earp, as well as the great Arnold Palmer, one of the greatest golfers of all time, passed away at age 87. And also a tragic, tragic time when a young superstar with a massive appeal and an upward appeal passes away at a ripe age of 24. Jose Fernandez, the baseball player, one of the best players in baseball, killed in a boating accident. Into October, Kevin Meaney, the comedian, passes away, as well as Bobby V. November saw the passings of Janet Reno, Leonard Cohen, Robert Vaughn, and this lady, the mom to many of us, Florence Henderson.
Now joke over.
Yeah, fun is fun, but you know you can carry joking too far. Somebody could end up getting hurt. Like I said, if you carry a joke too far, somebody can get hurt. Oh, now, Jan, you know that isn't so. Marcia's worked very hard for those things.
Well, all I hear all day long at school is how great Marcia is at this, or how wonderful Marcia did that. Marcia, Marcia, Marcia.
Florence Henderson, Mrs. Brady, passed away at the age of 82. Moved on into December. We saw Greg Lake, the musician of Emerson, Lake and Palmer, pass away at 69. John Glenn passed away at the age of 95. Alan Thicke, just last week, passed away at the age of 69, as did Bernard Fox. You might know him as Dr. Bombay, as well as Colonel Crichton and Hogan's Heroes. Craig Sater, the sports anchor and sports reporter, passed away at 65. And just the other day, Zsa Zsa Gabor said goodbye to us at age 99. Those are just a few of the people we lost in this really weird year of 2016. I look forward to seeing who we're going to lose in 2017. I can tell you that right now.
Wait,
the Chad Benson Show. Do you think Bob Barker is going to be on this?
No, I don't think so.
He's held together by wishes and makeup. The Chad Benson Show Facebook, at Chad Benson Show Twitter, CHADBENSON. Chad at ChadBensonShow.com. Text the show 323-538-2423. 323-538-2423. Love when you get the text messages. We've got the Philharmonic Orchestra with a great, great song about people who are butthurt at this time of the year for Christmas. And we'll talk a little bit about Santa Claus and the origins of Mr. Claus. Ho, ho, ho! Merry Chadmas!
Talk radio just got a little cooler. Chad Benson.
Well, that's great news.
Oh, man, I tell you what. I love Christmas Vacation, one of those movies. I can watch it and over and over. But it has to be November, mid-November. I can't watch it in June. Right? Like, I watch it in November. I watch it in December. Can't watch it in January. Got to watch it in those times. But I love Christmas Vacation. It's back before Chevy Chase lost his mind. St. Nicholas. Santa Claus. Santa. Who, what, when, how, and why. You kids, we give you everything here. We're not just a show that pumps you full of a bunch of crap and politics 24-7. It's not who we are. We like to give you knowledge that breaks it down. Who is Santa Claus? Legend of St. Nicholas. Can be traced hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years ago back to a man by the name of Saint Nicholas, or Nicholas, was born sometimes around 280 AD in Patara, near Myra in modern-day Turkey. Much admired for his piety and kindness, he became the subject of many legends, said he gave away all of his inherited wealth and traveled the countryside, helping the poor and the sick. Poor man, that's a good thing to do right there. One of his best known stories of St. Nicholas, the stories he saved three poor sisters from being sold into slavery or prostitution by their father by providing them with a dowry so they could be married. Over the course of many years, his popularity grew and he became known as the protector of children and sailors, which is weird to be protector of both children and sailors. Like, that's your thing. Here, Sinterklaas came to New York right around 1773, maybe again 1774. New York newspaper reported that groups of Dutch families had gathered to honor the anniversary of his death. The name Santa Claus evolved from Nick's Dutch name, Sinterklaas, shortened from Sint Nicholas, Dutch for St. Nicholas. We kind of, you know, we became familiar with the way he was, became gift-giving, became a big thing. Stores started to advertise around 1820. By the 1840s, newspapers had created separate sections for holiday advertisements. And newly popular image of Santa Claus came out right in 1841. Finally, people got a look at Santa Claus. In the 1890s, Salvation Army needed money to pay for free Christmas tree meals they provided. They began dressing up unemployed men in Santa Claus suits, sending them to the streets of New York. In 1822, Clement Clark Moore, an Episcopal minister, wrote a long Christmas poem for his three daughters, an account of a visit from St. Nicholas. We call it "Twas the Night Before Christmas." And of course, Santa's who he became. Our first look at the modern one came from Coca-Cola, actually, in the 1900s, early 1900s. So that's who Santa Claus is. I know a lot of you guys out there shopping. You're looking around. I've just got friends who just text me saying it's a nightmare out here. But I'm here to tell you guys, Santa Claus can do a lot of things. But one thing he has right now in spades, and he's ready to give out to people, is this great new album from K-Tel. And I think you guys will like it. It's amazing. It's incredible. Santa Claus is I mean, I love Santa. I always did. I like taking kids to see Santa Claus, even if they're not mine, because I like seeing them cry. Like, that's the best part of it. Jack likes to see Santa from afar, terrified of him up close. As he's getting a little bit older and starts to understand that this guy gives me presents, he's okay. Hates Chuck E. Cheese. By the way, the reindeer came in a much different way. And the ninth reindeer wasn't actually even born until 100 years after the eight flying counterparts. Rudolph, of course, the red-nosed reindeer, was a creation by Robert L. May, a copywriter at Montgomery Ward's department store. He wrote a Merry Christmas-themed short poem to bring holiday traffic into the store using a similar rhyming patterns to Moore's 'Twas the Nightmare Before Christmas. From there, we got Claymation. God, I love the Claymation. That's my favorite one. I love watching all of those as a kid growing up. I get so excited. Those are the best. That's how you guys have found out who is Sinterklaas, St. Nicholas, or Santa, as we know. Little knowledge for everybody. The Chad Benson Show Facebook, at Chad Benson Show Twitter, C-H-A-D-B-E-N-S-O-N, Chad at ChadBensonShow.com. You can text the show, 323-538-2423, 323-538-2423. This be the Chad Benson Show.
The Chad Benson Show.